Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Thank you, brother. Praise God. You know what? I love that song. How I love Jesus. And I love the part of that, though, that means the most. It's because he first loved me. If Jesus hadn't loved us first, there's no ability we would have had to love him. And that's why I always love that song. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. As I look out, I know many of you are either working or you're at home, and I know it's a little bit discouraging. I know for those who were able to come this past Sunday, I know you were encouraged. It was such a blessing. We were talking about it earlier, and I know that it was a great refreshing, basically a breath of fresh air to you. So I praise God for that. Those of you who could not make it, we missed you, and we are looking forward to the day that we can all be back together. You do that in your time as you feel comfortable. There's no judgment in that sense. That's between, I say, a person and the Lord or their doctor. I know we have some that medically have been asked not to come. So just lift them up in prayer. We want you to know we love you. We're praying for you, and if there's anything we can continue to do to minister to you, we want to do that. And I just thank the Lord that he's in control, that he's on the throne. And as I look out, as my hardest part is to know that some of you might be struggling, and I don't know that I don't have the ability to look in your eyes and know that you're doing okay. So I pray you are tonight. I pray again that you're encouraged. I pray that the presence and the power of God has ministered to you and continues to this midweek. And tonight, I hope you have your Bible. If you do, your physical Bible, I pray you do. And if you can open up tonight, I want to have you turn to the book of Philippians. We're going to look at the fourth chapter, verse 8 and 9. And while you're turning there, just kind of, again, the thing that I've said over and over again, try to remove any distractions that you have. If you have a TV that's on that you don't need, or if you're watching on a TV and have a phone that's on, turn it off if you can, and give the enemy no ability to try to distract you. And whatever it is that God wants to do tonight, and when we give him that freedom of not having anything that can take our affections or our focus away, it always helps. I know me personally, it really helps when the distractions are the least. Tonight, as you're turning there, I'll just kind of share the title of the message tonight. It's Think About This. And we're going to look at things in the Bible right here. I love this Pauline. It's one of the Philippians was written by Paul. And I really like this because it basically just deals with these attributes of followers of Christ, things that we need to think about, things that we need to meditate on. Right now, I will tell you, I could go into I was talking with somebody just a little bit ago about how discouraging it is when you either look at any kind of news. I don't care anymore if it's the local news, the national news, a newspaper, a periodical. I don't care what it is. I have not found anything that is positive, and I'm about tired of all of it. And I am trying to redirect my affections and my focus onto things that are what the Bible would say, even Colossians 3. If you have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And that second, set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. So tonight, this is basically helping all of us redirect our minds, our thoughts, our focus, our affections. And I will challenge you to do this. If you're overwhelmed about this virus and hearing all this, there's nothing positive in the news right now. I'm going to be honest, there's not. Turn it off. Give yourself a fast, a famine. If you need me to, I'll come and remove physically your TV from your house, and I'll jerk your cable box out for you if you'd like me to. I'll cut all the cables so that you can't change your mind. And I'm saying that because what will happen if you do that is you will be able to replace all of that naysaying, nonsense, political garbage that's on the TV, and you can replace it with things that are in God's Word. These things that we're going to look at tonight, these things that we can think about. I hope this encourages you, but more than that, I hope it challenges you to do, I'm going to call it a flush. Flush your mind of this filth right now, this negativity, this divisiveness. Now people are fighting over one wearing a mask and one not wearing a mask all over. There's some people at the store whooped up on somebody because they weren't, kicked them out of the store. It's just terrible. Everything that's going on is completely what the Bible says, a house divided will surely fall. So the awesome thing tonight is we have a uniting factor, and that is Jesus Christ. Salvation, the freedom and forgiveness that's found in the work of salvation through the cross. But tonight, these things I want to share with you to think about it. Just two verses tonight, again, verse 8 and 9. And I hope you found it in Philippians chapter 4. And if you are physically able, wherever you are tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Father God, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you are on the throne. Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, that nothing that's happening anywhere in the world or in our universe, our personal life, our family, our church body, God, is not without your knowledge and allowance and control. Father, we thank you for that truth. We thank you for that promise, Lord. Tonight, God, hide me behind the cross, Lord. I know that you're the only one that can speak to hearts, move in hearts. You're the only person that saves, that delivers, the only one that convicts, Father. And God, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that as you hide me behind the cross and you move in hearts, God, that we would respond to whatever it is that you want to do. Have your way with us. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Three things that I want to share with you tonight. The first one comes to the first part of verse 8 there, and it's this. Again, finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever is just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable. And I'll stop there for a minute. First thing that I want to share with you, again, comes from that part of the verse tonight. It's this. Truth, honor, purity, love, and commendable things show a life transformed. Now, again, what are we seeing in the news? I don't even want to talk about it because I'll get wound up and end up talking to you about that for an hour. We're not seeing truth, we're not seeing honor, we're not seeing purity, we're not seeing love, we're not seeing commendable things. We're not seeing the demonstration in everything from the reporters to people in government and every facet of it in every respect. Sadly, our congressmen and all of those others, the House and all those are supposed to be people that demonstrate integrity and demonstrate truth and righteousness, and we have not seen that in many cases. Tonight, God's word calls us to be a demonstration of truth, a demonstration of honor, a demonstration of purity, a demonstration of love, a demonstration of commendable things. You and I need to do that because that shows a life transformed. Really, I guess a lot of what I see in the political system and them trying to do what they want to do to get what they want, and I know mainly a lot of that leads this next election. But a lot of this has to do with lies, and it has to do with dishonor, and it has to do with impurity, and it has to do with everything else. You know, we just saw, I saw a governor that lost a race, and I won't even say what state, and a few months ago. Thank the Lord he did. But they found him in a hotel room using illegal substance, just terrible stuff. And I just said, as I was talking to the Lord about this, wasn't even talking to a person about it, I said, God, thank you for knowing what no one else knew at that point. Because had this man been elected to that position, you would have had a politician that could have been involved in this terrible scandal who had been over an entire state. And it's just sad because these people are supposed to be what we learned when I was young as role models. You know, when you look at Andy Griffith and you look at Andy and you watch the premise of all of the shows during that time, what was it revolving around? It was revolving around truth, and it was revolving around honor and purity and love and commendable things and ultimately the right thing being done. Even everything from Opie to Andy to Barney and everybody in between, it was ultimately culminating into truth and righteousness and honor. And even the Dukes of Hazzard, if you think about that show, and of course that was in the 70s and then in the 80s, that ultimately had a plot where they were foiling the lack of truth, the lack of honor, the lack of purity, and the lack of love. And they were, the Duke boys would ultimately foil whatever scandal was going on or whoever was trying to live outside the law and take advantage of others. All throughout history, we've watched everything from even back many, many decades ago to politics to the hometown TV programs, the Cleavers, and everything revolved around family and good. And you know what's so sad is it has gone the total opposite now. We see these shows where they glorify everything that is anti-Christ and anti-holy and anti-godly, and what happens is they end up attacking anybody who has something as, oh, that's no good, it's just, that's that Bible bashing, good wholesome, and we want to live like this, and you should be happy about it, and you should be thankful. And sadly, we know what the Bible, when it says in the end times, they'll call good bad and bad good. We're at that point in history right now. We're at the point in history where truth and honor and purity and love is not commendable. None of that is, these things that are commendable are not things to be celebrated anymore. It almost seems like the farther we can get from that is where the ratings happen, and the further from anything truth, and let's just try to build a scandal. And you just keep saying that, and the louder you get with scandal, guess what happens? It drowns out anything truthful and righteous and holy and pure. If there is any moral excellence, if there is any praise, think on these things. Look at that. Second half. If there's any more excellence, if there's any praise, some versions say think. This one says dwell on these things. So right now in your life, in my life, it's God's word shouts to us, if there is any moral excellence, if there is any praise, dwell on this. What does dwell mean? Again, other versions say think on this. That means that our minds should be thinking, should be focused on these things. Our minds should focus on truth and honor and purity and love and commendable things. And if there's any of this moral excellence and any praise to be had, dwell on that. Think about that. Immerse yourself in that. I remember when I was young, when we would... whether it was a carnival coming to town, they used to have one in Miami where we lived, and it was called the Dade County Youth Fair. And I remember every year when I finally recognized and realized what time of the year that would happen, I got old enough to understand that it was something that reoccurred, I'd get really excited months in advance. Whether it was that or whether it was us going to the beach or something like that, I remember as a child barely being able to sleep. I remember thinking about that and having... I mean, I could see myself on the beach if we were going to the beach, or I could see myself on whatever ride it was at the youth fair that they had in Miami. And I remember as we would get ready to go on vacation, for weeks my parents had to wait to tell me because I'd packed my bags 2 months before. It felt like a year back then. But I remember thinking and dwelling on these things that I was looking forward to as a child. That's what the scripture's talking about there. It's those things in our life that should consume our hearts and minds. And I will tell you firsthand, if you immerse yourself in TV right now, you will not be immersed in truth and honor and purity and love and commendable things. You will not be focused on moral excellence or praise. And I'm even telling you that from reading things online now. Don't dare read the comments section of anything. It shows the absolute cataclysmic divide of people right now. I read an article this morning about this virus, and I read the comments in it. I mean, people completely eviscerating each other. And it didn't matter if a person wanted to wear a mask or didn't want to. Both of them had in their minds just as valid of an argument, and they ended up reducing themselves to schoolyard slandering and cursing one another. And I just said to myself, how sad when you get to a place where you can't even have a civilized discussion. And by the way, we've been that way for a number of years in this nation. I'd say over 10 years now. They can't even have a civilized discussion with people anymore about something and disagree and actually have a civilized discourse about it and actually work through something. No, it results in schoolyard insults in each other that are the farthest things from truth and honor and purity and love and commendable things. It shows a life of, if it is a follower of Christ, it's in complete disobedience, in a life that needs transformed, or it just shows the unregenerate condition of someone who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The second thing that I want to share with you, it's out of that second half of that verse 8, is this: dwell on God's beauty, not man's brokenness. Dwell on God's beauty, not man's brokenness. Now, you might say, that's hard. This morning, my verse that I send out in the text, if you're on that list, you know, so it's actually yesterday morning, it was Tuesday mornings. It was a verse that talks about life being a vapor, it's a mist. Here today and it's gone tomorrow, basically. And, you know, as God laid that verse on my heart yesterday, I thought again about the analogy I did in there of when you put a pot of water on the stove to boil and you watch that. And I remember when I was young, I'd kind of get mesmerized. I would see that and I'd watch it and it'd just be gone. But then the verse, when I heard the verse as a young child, I began to relate that, you know, that mist and then our life. I didn't understand it at that age, but boy, do I ever understand it now and how fast life is. It's been so fast for a lot of years, but how now it's recklessly going fast. It's so unreal fast. But it's hard for us to really truly grasp the brevity, the shortness of life, I think. A lot of times it takes these earth-shattering type of things to help us understand. And with me, my father's mother died back, I think it was in 1993-ish, one or three, I don't remember exactly when it was. But, you know, thinking now that, okay, here we are, we're at 2020, and 93, 2003, you know, 13, and now, we're almost how many years? Exactly. We'll be coming up on 40 years that she's been gone. Is that right? No, sorry, 30 years. And I go, 30 years? Where in the world in just a few more years has 30 years gone? Just like that. It seems like yesterday, if I remember, I was 17-ish, 16, 17, whatever it was, years old. I don't remember what it was exactly, somewhere in there. But it seems like yesterday. It seems like yesterday that I walked across the stage and graduated from high school. I remember it vividly, 1991, vividly, yesterday. I remember when I was only about three or four years old going to the beach in Miami. I can still see it. I can still see my family there. I can still see myself sitting in the sand at Crandon Beach off of the coast of Miami on Key Biscayne, vividly, like it was yesterday. I remember going on a Cub Scouts trip, and I was only either 6 or 7 years old. We went out to the Keys and camped out for a weekend with the people at our church that were in Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts. Vividly, I can still see the tents. I can still see the ocean. I remember I was out there swimming, and I ended up catching a not an octopus, but whatever those, squid. Yeah, squid, little squid. And I remember holding, like yesterday. That's almost been 40 years. Vapor. Life is a vapor, but also what we do within those years. It's the bookending theology. I've heard this a number of years. It might have been Lou Giglio that talked about it. You look at the sum total of our life. We see these tombstones at the, we live right next door to a cemetery, and there's a cemetery, and I like to walk around and look at the tombstones and see the things that are written on them. I love going and reading that because I kind of like to understand people's lives, and people who put a lot on there, I appreciate that because it helps me understand who that person is, though many of them I've never met. But our sum total of our life one day, you and I will be this, a dash. That's it. A birth date, a death date, and the sum total of our life will be summed up in that dash. And everything that we did from birth to death will be spoken to in that dash that is so small. But yet, when it, the representation of time that it represents is in and of itself so small in comparison to time and eternity. Why are we living like we honestly, why do we live like we think we're going to live forever? Why? Why do we push away the things of the Lord? Why, when you see something on social media that somebody's got some foolishness about some foolish thing that has no eternal meaning, and you'll see 50,000, 100, 200, 300 million views on it, and everybody's commenting on it. Somebody puts a verse on there, types one up, or puts something spiritual on there, and you'd think they threw a skunk in somebody's living room. I don't like it when they try to shame you into reading it and passing it on to 10 friends saying you'll be blessed if you do. That, to me, drives me crazy. But my question is, why? And you might go, well, it's probably just a bunch of... No, there's a lot of believers that are on those kind of platforms. Why does it almost seem like those things are passed over? I don't know. Ask yourself, why you think people do that? Is it not having that innate desire for dwelling on those things? Is it, I don't know. Why do these other things that have no eternal meaning seem so appealing to believers too? Why don't these things that are things of the Lord and very good, meaningful things, why don't those get the attention that the foolishness and filth does? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's we're not on there for spiritual reasons. Well, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all the glory of God. So shouldn't you give as much attention to something on there that was something of the Lord as we would something that was some funny something to make us laugh? Just something to think about for all of us. Dwell on God's beauty, not on man's brokenness. The title tonight, think about this. Think, what are we thinking about? What are we investing in our eternal sense? What are you investing in the temporal sense? What are you and I doing right now to invest spiritually in the things of eternity? How many people do you hear day in and day out? Now, matter of fact, I don't even see much of a divide between believers and non-believers now, and how many people just walk off in their families like, well, I'm done with that. Let's start over again. And for sadly, whatever reason, there's no brokenness and heartache over it anymore. It's like, well, it just didn't work out. I'm glad Jesus didn't do that with us. Amen? Yes. But sadly, it's creeped in all around us. The whole globe, it's an epidemic. And everybody just doesn't bat an eye like it's no big deal anymore. Things just didn't work out. Well, wait a minute. What ultimately is commitment in relationships anymore? Are we boiling down a relationship with Christ the same thing? Well, if it doesn't work out, we'll just go our separate ways. No, I think what has happened is we have become, if anything else, a nation of people that don't know what commitment is. We have schools right now that are trying to adapt the teaching environment for children who no longer want to sit there and don't want to be held accountable and made to do things that they don't want to do. And oh, Lord forbid someone should get a bad grade because it's not my son or daughter's problem, it's the teacher's. How dare we hold them to a standard and make them be held accountable for their actions? Oh, we wouldn't dare want to do that because it might ruin them. Well, I want to tell you something. I think that's been one of the biggest problems is we now have cultivated a nation of people that don't want to be held accountable for anything. When you want to sit down with your brother or sister in Christ about something that is in a spiritual accountability issue, and oh, who do you think you are? Nobody wants to hear it anymore. You can come talk all day long about what we're doing right, but oh, Lord forbid that you or I sit down with one another and hold each other accountable, because I'll tell you one thing, you've crossed a line. And I'm talking about doing it in the spirit, the attitude, and the way the Bible says, not in the attitude of our hearts or whatever it might be that you and I decide to go and break bad on someone. That's not godly, and that's not what God's will, way, and word is. When you and I go in that sense, it should be with a heart of brokenness and a heart to see them restored. We do that one-on-one is the way it should be done, but it should be done in a biblical sense. These things that we would be thinking of at that point would be to do what? To restore fellowship, to grow, to encourage, to build a brother or sister up. But no, we're getting to the point now where a lot of that can't happen because people don't want to be held accountable. They love the idea of it, but when it comes down to it in day-to-day living, oh, who do you think you are? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to dwell on God's beauty and you want to live in God's plan, it requires getting in each other's business in a loving biblical sense. And if not, then we want to dwell on man's brokenness. We're going to, hey, man, I'm going to live in the brokenness and nobody's going to tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? Oh, don't dare say nothing to my child. Don't dare say nothing. Oh, no. Come on. Biblically, we're a family. We're a body. Truth and honor, purity, love, these commendable things. Do you want your life to show a life transformed? Or do you want to live with every inclination of your heart? Do what the Old Testament, what did I say? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now listen to verse 9 again. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Third and final thing I want to share with you tonight is think and live out the gospel truth you have been taught. Live out the gospel truth you've been taught. Think about it. Live it out. Do it. And I hope that that part at the end been taught. I hope that you've been discipled, even if only in the basic of sense. I hope that you have some spiritual role models tonight that you're able to look at, and you've been able to, I know you're looking to Christ, but we should have role models. You know, Paul said, hey, look to me as I look to Christ. That's what we need to have. We need to have role models. It's very important for us too. But I pray tonight you have role models who've been able to demonstrate godliness and Christ-likeness to you, and you're able to live it out as you are being taught, as you're being discipled, as you're being encouraged to by that person that loves you and is loving you enough to get in your business, and not in a nosy way either. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with caring more about your heart, caring about your family, caring about your spiritual success more than they care about you not liking them. You and I need people at times that when they come in love to us, that we get bothered by it and we have to go and deal with our own heart and emotion on it, and then come back realizing that they care so much about us that they were doing, by the way, what's tough to do. You know that you have to care about someone to actually go to them in love and do it the biblical way? Do you know what's really easy to do? I don't care what happens to them, let them sink. You know how easy that is? That's easy. It's easy not to care and not to love and go, well, to each his own. Who am I to judge? By the way, judge, that has nothing to do, that statement, when somebody says, don't judge me, a judge passes sentence. So if a person comes to you and goes, you're going to hell, that's what judgment is. When someone comes to you and says, hey, brother, sister, you're walking out on your family, you're leaving your family, God's not going to bless us, I'm concerned for you. What's going on? Don't judge me. You ever heard that? Yes, and we all have. That is wrong, by the way, because that has nothing to do with judgment. That person that's saying that doesn't want anybody holding them accountable. So what their knee-jerk reaction is to attack the one that came to them in love. That person that comes and cares about you is the one that truly loves you. Those friends of yours that don't have the backbone to step up and to talk to you in love and try to help you and to dissuade you from doing something that will bring cataclysmic judgment on your life and your family, that's the one that loves you that's going to come and speak to you. That person that won't say something, that's not your friend. I call them sugar daddies, sugar people, people that don't care. They just care about going along and having everybody like them. They're never a genuine friend to anybody. They blow like the winds do. Live out the gospel truth you've been taught. Live it out. Turn off your TV. Shut down whatever media you have to do. And by the way, you better be getting it from a solid source. I wish I could go into this, but I can't. Don't have enough time. There is so much bunk going around, and so many people don't even have an idea what truth is in the first place. Don't buy what anybody in a media, whether it's print, whether it's on the TV or anything else, if you buy that hook, line, and sinker, you might as well buy you a ticket to Jonestown and drink a big old fat cooler full of Kool-Aid. If you take those sources in the media and you follow what they're saying and you haven't found out and dug the truth out yourself, friends, you're going to get what you get. Because I want to tell you something. There is a whole lot of mistruth going around. Get away from it. Step away from it. Don't let that guide you, because if you do and you don't seek out truth, you're going to have a mess on your hands. You will definitely have a mess on your hands. You need to, what is the old saying, trust but verify. You can look at it, but you make sure you dig into truth. You make sure you seek out truth, because I can promise you one thing. There's some slick stuff going on right now. Very slick stuff going on right now, and it's getting people thrown all over the place, and the last thing in the world that they're getting is truth. Live out gospel truth. Many, you've been taught. A brother or sister in Christ that is discipling you, that spent time in the Word with you, that's praying for you, praying with you, encouraging you, that's a person that has your best interest at heart. You want to get in God's Word? Hey, get away from the negativity, away from the bunk, the garbage. Meditate on this. Think about this. Ready? Truth, honor, purity, love, whatever's commendable. Let that be the revelation. Let that be the revealing force of your life. By the way, when you say being, we're being transformed. By the way, this is a work, a progressive work that finishes when we die. When you and I die, that's what we call graduation day. That's the day that we stand in the presence of King Jesus, and we go from salvation, sanctification, that is glorification. That's the day that we stand and receive our reward as followers of Jesus Christ because of Christ's righteousness. Amen. That is what we are going to experience when we stand in His presence. But we are in a continual process of being transformed. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of the mind continues. It's a continual process with Joshua. Choose you what? This day whom you will serve. Me and my house will serve the Lord. You have to do that every single day. Choosing for yourself whom you will serve. Do you realize about thinking these things to think about? This is what we have to do every single day. God, today, let me think about truth. Let me think about honor. Let me think about purity. Let me think about love and those things that are commendable, God. Give me the strength and the ability, Lord, to dwell on your beauty, on God's beauty, not man's brokenness. Father, don't let that filth flush it from me, God. Clear my mind, my heart. Let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And then ultimately, again, live out the gospel truth that you've been taught. You might say, well, I haven't allowed myself to be held accountable. I've been fighting that. Well, let me just give you a little insight tonight. If you've been fighting accountability, you're fighting victory. You're buying hook, line, and sinker in what Satan wants. He wants nothing more than you to run from accountability. I've had people that say, man, I've never really been, my parents let me do what I wanted to do when I grew up. It's been so hard for me to want to be held accountable. I'm one of those loners. I don't like that stuff. Well, you go on and loan yourself, and you're loaning, and you're a loner type of thing, and you know what it'll do? Ultimately, it'll sink you. God created us to have relationships with one another. God created us to need each other. Anything that's contradictory to that is not God's plan for us. Jesus sent disciples out two by two. Why? We don't do good alone. That's right now. I've seen more than anything with many of it's been our senior saints who live alone as widows and widowers. They've been having tough times. Because why? Isolation doesn't breed joy, peace, hope, and all of that stuff. No, it makes you feel isolated. The enemy loves that. He loves you and I to feel defeated, discouraged, unloved, unwanted, unneeded, and every other emotion that comes with that. But in as followers of Christ, what does God say? We are the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Each member has a different thing that it contributes. We're a different, each one has different gifts in the body. So when we're not able to come together, we're not able to exercise being a whole body working in unison to carry out the Great Commission, to be to the hands and feet of Christ in our community. Very important for us to understand we need one another. We need the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ. Does it have to do with anything about every week when I go to church, God's putting a little mark on a board? No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. But I can promise you one thing, a heart that desires to fellowship is a heart that's in line with God's desire for our lives. When you and I go, well, I just like to go to a different church every week. Well, I would challenge you in that. If you think that you're able to live in the abundant life in Christ and be able to be an effective part, unless you're a lay minister or a missionary or someone who's doing a specific work, what you're doing is keeping yourself from accountability and the ability to be used and the ability to serve. And all you're doing is allowing the enemy to get you isolated. Don't tell me. I know. Trust me. I'd love to do that myself. We have that natural tendency to kind of step away and to go enjoy the fun things, but stay away from the hard day-to-day ministry stuff and being a plugged-in part. Be plugged in. Get plugged in. If you say, well, I need a break from ministry, well, I'm going to tell you what. Show it me in the Bible as far as a short-term break. But when we say, oh, I'm going to take 3 or 4 years off from serving the Lord. Oh, really? We need to talk. You know why? Who's going to do your part? Because the body of Christ, what are we going to do with that arm, that wrist, that elbow, that foot during the 3 years, wherever you might be ministering if you're not one of our people? What is your church going to do when you decide to amputate a foot for about 3 years? What are they supposed to do? God's plugged you into that body of Christ. So think about that. We don't have the time, brothers and sisters. Life is but a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. We don't have the time to sit around and celebrate our victories right now. No, we only have a few hours before sunset to win those victories. We have eternity to celebrate those. This is not the time to celebrate. This is the time to get busy, because what does the Bible say? The fields are white unto harvest. And I would go as far as to say right now, the fields are whiter than they've ever been in the history of mankind. We've got to get busy. We don't have the time. If anything, we're all, including myself, not serving the Lord enough compared to the need that we have right now all over the globe, and even more importantly, in our communities. What are you tonight? What are you thinking about? Think about this. Whatever's pure, lovely, those things of the Lord. Set your affections. Go take that Colossians 3. Make that one of your life verses. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth, especially right now with all this stuff. Set your affections on things above. Focus on God's desire, His plan, His will. God, how can you most use me? Not, hey, let's dip off. Don't we all want to? Hey, including myself. I'm going to find me a nice cave somewhere in the mountains of Colorado and disappear for the next 20 years. Then I'll get serious. No, we don't have the time. Don't have the time to do that for 6 months, for that matter. The fields are white unto harvest. Think right now about what your mind's dwelling on. Are you dwelling on serving people? Are you dwelling on what somebody said to you? Are you dwelling on what some news person told you? Get your mind off of all that stuff. Set your affections up there. Because if you set them down here, I can promise you one thing. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be fearful. You're going to be running around continually worried about the next boogeyman that's going to jump out of the bushes on you. Come into your, next thing you know, they're going to say, well, we've had coronavirus inside the drywall for the last 15 years. It's going to be some crazy something. Don't listen. Be safe. Be smart. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Do what you need to do. Be smart. Don't live in fear, because I promise you, you watch. It's one thing after another. Next thing you know, they're going to be hollering about tornado season. Tornado's not till the fall now. Hey, hurricane season, I'm already hearing it right now. Oh, scared to death, it's going to be a hurricane. It's going to be a drought. They're scared to death, it's going to be a drought now. That's when God hit me with this. What are we going to do? We'll sit around here and listen to this stuff. You'd be in a complete and utter panic. That's not what God's called us to do. God's called us to live in peace. He's called to live in the joy and the hope, embracing, immersing truth and honor and purity and love, commendable things. Let your life and my life be a reflection of the transforming work of God. Most importantly tonight, what would you say if you were to stand before the living God of all creation tonight, you died tonight, and He said, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Is that a thought that makes you uncomfortable? If it is, there's a potential that you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, because as a follower of Jesus Christ, there is no greater privilege and there's no greater longing than to one day stand in front of the God that you know none of us deserved it, but in His immense love and His grace and His mercy, He sent Jesus Christ to pay a debt that we could never pay. And we'd be able to stand in His presence, not because we deserved it, not because we're righteous, no, but because the righteousness of Christ through that day that you and I understood that we were a sinner in need of a Savior, and ask the Lord to save us, to cleanse us, to forgive us of our sins, and to be our Lord and our Savior. And that day that you and I prayed that prayer was the day that we became a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. And that's the day that God gave us that righteousness. Our sin debt was paid. But until that day, had you and I stood before him, it would have been a whole different story, because until we have been saved, the only thing that could happen is us being separated from God in a place that we know as hell. Not God's will for us. It's not God's desire. His desire, the Bible says, that none should perish. And tonight, if you want to ask Jesus Christ to save you, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you don't know him as Lord and Savior. You know Jesus Christ bore your sin, died, 3 days later rose from the grave, and you want to pray that prayer tonight to receive him as your Lord and your Savior, you can do that wherever you're at. In a genuine sincerity in the attitude of your heart, knowing that Jesus did that, you can get on your floor in your living room. You can pull over on the side of the road. Doesn't have to be any special way. All you've got to do is pray a prayer similar to this. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that you sent Jesus Christ to be the perfect sacrifice, the sinless son, the sacrificial lamb. You bore my sin. You died, and 3 days later, you rose from the grave. God, I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, and I thank you tonight that through his sacrifice, I can know you. All you've got to do is say, Lord, save me, forgive me, cleanse me. I confess my sin. Lord, I know I don't deserve salvation, but Father, tonight, thank you for the gift of salvation, for saving, for cleansing, for loving me. Lord, send the Holy Spirit to guide me, to direct me, to live within me. And then all you do is finish it up with, in Jesus' name, amen. That's how the work of salvation happens. It's in the attitude of the heart, knowing that we're separated from God, knowing that we deserve hell, we deserve death. But through Jesus Christ, he became the bridge. The Bible says, no other name under heaven by which a man must be saved. So if you know that tonight and you pray that prayer, you're a new follower of Jesus Christ. We'd encourage you, if you do pray that tonight, to please reach out to us. If you rededicate your life to Christ tonight, we want nothing more. We're going to have an invitation in a moment, and you can pray this prayer tonight. If you rededicate your life to Christ, you've recommitted your life to Christ, you've dealt with things, please reach out to us. We want to get you plugged into a body of Christ. If you're not a local person that's watching, if you are, we want to get you plugged in. We want to be able to encourage you, pray with you, and pray for you. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.